But if you have your you found your place there tonight in 1 Kings chapter 17, say amen. We'll begin reading. You've been sitting for just a few moments. If you wouldn't mind standing for the reading of the Word, we're going to read from verse 8 down to verse 16. I'll open up in prayer and then you may be seated. In verse 8 here, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him." Now him is Elijah, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house tonight. And God, we just pray, Lord, that you would come and meet with us in a special way tonight. God, may you give us ears that we can hear. May you give us hearts that would be open and receptive to what thus saith the Lord. God, no doubt there are many needs represented in this here place tonight. God, we pray that you would move in our midst. We pray that your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, would be able to have liberty and freedom, Lord, to reign and rule and lead and guide and direct in this place tonight. And God, we're going to thank you in advance for all that you're going to do, Lord. Can we ask it in that name that's above all names, that name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. You know, here we have a story of Elijah. He's just came out of from being at the brook for a period of time after coming out of being chased by Jezebel and her wicked husband, and he's went down there. He's been taken care of by the raven and the brook. The raven has brought him food every day, and the brook has supplied him water. But then the time came that was over, and God was ready for him to move on. And God said to him there, he said, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon." In verse 10 there says these three words, "So he arose." You know, God's looking for faith, is he not? You know, God's looking for faith. Over in Hebrews 10:38 is where one of four times something to in this regards, it says like this. In Hebrews 10:38, it says, "The just shall live by faith." You know, who is the just? The saved. The born again. Believers. You know, that's who the saved is. And God is looking for faith. And we Matthew come up here and stood, and boy, he told us how he wound up in prison. Amen. And what an experience. And he gave you he let all of us in on his prison experience. But you know, that would have never happened if he hadn't been willing to go. As a young man, and be used. And even a great prophet, a great preacher like Elijah, he had to be willing to go to this place called Zarephath. You know, and up here. And know that when he was going, God said, he said, I've commanded a widow woman up there to sustain thee. You know, we don't get to determine where we go, what's going to happen there at the place we go. We just have to be willing to go. Amen? You know, God's looking for some people tonight that are still willing to go. It may be across the street to the neighbor. It may be to a co-worker. It may be to the person at the bank that counts our money. It may be to that clerk at the grocery store, that cashier that we speak to. It may be the person where we eat at that we have been going there so long. We know them and they know us. But God is looking, still looking for people that'll go. Amen. And, you know, when Elijah comes up here, you know, he's went, and verse 10 says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. Now, understand this about Zarephath. Zarephath, it means a smelting place or a refinement. It was in Phoenicia, which was just beyond the western border of Ahab's kingdom near Sidon. And they were under this time of drought. And it was an extended period of time this is going on. And so everybody is in need. And here is this widow woman. And it says that when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman. Now, this is the woman that God says, I've already commanded her. And she's going to sustain you. And the preacher comes up on the gates of the city. And here's this widow woman out here gathering up sticks. You know, she's out here gathering up sticks. And he called to her, and he used a good word from the south. He said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And of course, he had to be a Baptist, because in verse 11, as she was going, the Bible said, to fetch it, he called to her and said, you know, oh, by the way, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand also. You know, he wants water. He wants bread from this widow woman. There's a drought going on. And no doubt. And it says that in verse 12, it said, and she said, and I like this response she gives, because she knew something. She knew a thing or two also about the times and everything. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. You know, this is the woman's dire reality. By the way, sometimes, you know, God's got to get us to that place so that he can work in our lives. And here's this widow woman. And she basically says, look, she says, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. She's like, look, we're preparing for our last meal. You know, it's over. This is her dire reality. You know, I don't know what you're facing tonight. We know what we each are facing. But I don't know what you're facing. You don't know what I'm facing. But you know, the truth is, we're all dealing with something. So that's how life is. We're all in need of something. We're all in need of God working in our hearts and lives, working in our family. And it was no different here. This woman, she's gathering sticks. She's getting in to dress this meal, and she's getting ready to take it, and so her and her son can eat it, and so they can die. But you know, God always has a plan. Amen? God always, you know, has a plan. And this woman, now God had commanded her to take care of the preacher, to sustain him. But in taking care of the preacher, God was going to take care of her. Boy, aren't you thankful tonight that you serve a God who is able? Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above whatsoever you ask or think according to the power that worketh in you tonight. Boy, God's in control. He's on the throne tonight. He's not up there scratching His head. Hey, do you realize nothing has ever occurred to God? God knows everything. And He never had to learn one thing, like you and I. He knows everything. He's God. And He knew about this woman's situation. And He sent the preacher up there. And God was looking for faith. But not just from the preacher. You know, God was looking for faith from this widow woman. You know, let me say this as well. You know, God's already in mine and your Zarephath. Yeah. You say, I ain't at Zarephath. Well, it could get to feeling like a Zarephath. God's already, wherever that place is, whatever we're going through, God is already there. God was already at the prisons in Alabama. God was already in the juvenile area. God was already there. When the team arrived, God was already there. Yeah. Ready to work. God was ready. He just needed some people that were willing to go. Because you know what? There's some dire reality as we heard. Yes. Wow. You know, young men ages 14 to 18 in prison. You know, this is prison. There's no doubt probably some of them, there may be some of them that were never going to walk out alive. Yeah. We got mamas here. We got grannies and papas here and daddies. They may have been some of them that they visited this week that may not never be going to walk out alive. You know, some that may one day have to be wheeled out in a body bag. There's going to be some of them that once they're going to go on to an adult prison one day. They're going to be introduced to adult prison one day. Now, some of them, granted, are going to get out. And hopefully they'll be able to get involved with a Bible-believing, a Bible-preaching church that'll take them under their wings and teach them how to grow in the Lord. Amen. You know, it's one thing for a young man to go there, and understand my heart, but, you know, could some of them people walk in here? You know, could they? You know, because, you know, first impressions are lasting impressions. And so, and always when you come in as a visitor, somebody's going to say, well, where are you from? Oh, I've been up at the prison for 10 years. It just takes a moment for the facial expression to go forward. Well, really? Look, when I got saved 28 years ago in my living room, I didn't go to church. We didn't play church. We didn't have church clothes. We didn't have a Bible, nothing. We went to church, and the only knowledge we were going to learn about church was what that little church over there on the Outer Banks began to feed us. We later went to a woman's house. Her family had left the church. We went and visited there on Tuesday night at visitation. And she told us this in the conversation. She looked at me and my wife at one point. She said, hey, look, if they told you to eat cabbage, you'd eat cabbage. And she was right. Because we took them at their word. They took us under their wing as me 30, my wife 27. They took us in. They loved us. They taught us everything. They gave us our first Bibles. There was a little lady that sat there. Every time the preacher said open up, she showed us where to open to till we got acclimated with the Word of God. But you know, if one of those young men, Matthew's obviously going back next February, And he could be like Mr. Shu. He could go there for the next 10 years. And what if by chance one of those, if we're still here, and the Lord hadn't came yet, and one of those young men now is a man, and Matthew says, oh, come visit us. I'm just putting it out there. You know, this was this woman's dire reality here. That had nothing to do with the dire reality. Because I think you'd do well. Because Jesus is inside. See, that's the thing. Wow. Isn't that the thing? Oh, wow. He's the guy that opened the eyes of the blind. He's the one that opened the ears of the deaf. He's the one that loosed the tongue of the dumb. He's the one that raised the lame to walk. He's the one that called Lazarus, come forth. And when he comes in, it's just like what that little girl said. She said, Daddy, she said, how big is Jesus? And he looked down at her. He said, oh, honey. He said, Jesus, he was a man like Daddy. She's looking at Daddy and she said, well, Daddy, when you get saved, where does Jesus come to live? He said, oh, honey, when you get saved, Jesus comes to live inside your heart. And she's just fascinated and she's looking up with those big old eyes at Daddy. She said, well, Daddy, she said, if Jesus is big like you and if when you get saved, he comes to live in your heart, she's like, Daddy, won't he be poking out all over? Isn't that right? There's no keeping him under wraps. There's no putting him away. We may try, but he's going to come out. He's Jesus, the Son of God. You know, as this story goes on here, in verse 12 again, she said, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And then he told her this in verse 14. He said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know, that was a delightful assurance. You know, boy, God knows what we need, when we need it. Amen? He knows just what we need, just when we need it. It's not always, it's probably not going to be early. But it won't be late either. It'll be right on time because we need it. But you know, and by the way, we think we know. You know, this woman said, this is my situation, and it was. But you know, that's as far as, sometimes that's as far as we can see. It's our circumstances. It's our situation. But God can see so much more. You know, so much more. You know, God can see. And Elijah told her that here. He said, look, the barrel of meal is not going to waste, and neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon this earth. You know, God, praise God, we serve a God who is able. Amen. You know, that old song said, he's able, he's able, I know he's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. You know, is your God able? He's able. God is able to carry us through, to take care of us. God is able, folks, to take care of his children, the church. He's able to do that. You know, he has all power. The Bible said over there that once has it been spoken, twice have I heard, that power belongeth unto God. You know, the Philippians said, being confident of this very thing. What is that very thing? That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is able to take care of his own. And when he sends Elijah up here, and Elijah is going up here doing what God said, and God is working a work. And by the way, God still is doing that today. God is looking for people. God's looking for a church. God's looking for people that He can work through, that He can get the gospel spread out through. God's looking for a lighthouse that He can, that can still shine forth. There's a lighthouse right up here on Packenhouse Road. Man, it's still shining forth. The gospel's still going forth from this place. You know, are we willing to be used of God tonight? You know, God is looking for some people that's willing to be used. God's looking for some situations to work in tonight. Yeah, He is. I mean, I got the call last Saturday night, and Caleb had, called me and he said, "Papa, he's my 17 and a half year old grandson. And we've had custody of them. His sister now is almost 20. But Caleb's still not 18 yet. He's still there at home, good young man, but he is 17 and a half. So he has him a truck. He's been driving, and well, it actually was a Chevy Tahoe, so a suburban light, or SUV, there you go. So I get a call last Saturday night. I'm at home and get a call, and Caleb says, "Papa, it's gone." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "My vehicle's totaled. It's gone." Now, that's the call you don't want to get. And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, the right front tire locked up." He said, "I tried to correct it. Then I had to correct it back, and I wound up in a ditch on the driver's side down. Not a good place to be." And so I head out and go quickly. And get over there, and sure enough, it's and he's in the ambulance. He's just beside himself, and understandably. And this vehicle is demolished. It's totaled. And the driver's side down. But you know, there were some things that you could see. You know, that God worked. We had gotten rain there for a good day, and this swell was real wet. And I say that because his arm got pinned. He likes to ride with the window down. And the arm got pinned momentarily in between the ground and the outside the door. But he said he was able to put his feet on the dash and push back as hard as he could and get that arm to come out. But I don't think that happens if the ground wasn't wet below it. Okay? So he gets out. You know, that has happened there. That happens, the ground's in that condition. But this is not a accident, how this was, that probably everyone walks away from. This was a scary thing. But you know, I thank the Lord that He spared him. I told him, he was heartbroken, he's crushed over the vehicle, but I said, "Caleb, we can replace the vehicle." But I said, you know, God spared you. God spared you here with this. You pray for him. But Caleb was, he was still on the fence. I was 17 and a half years old. He's still, you know, on the fence there. And I could just tell that the Lord was gracious and wanting to get his attention, but still keeping him safe. You know, God. Boy, God is a loving God. He loves us with an everlasting love. Boy, he just will take care of us. In verse 15 here, it says, "And she went." So again, you know, Elijah has asked her to go and do this. Elijah exercised his faith when he did what God commanded him to do. And God said, "I've commanded this widow woman to sustain thee there." And it comes down to verse 15, and now she went. So she went and did what God commanded her to do. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. You know, what is God waiting on us to do? What has God already commanded us to do? And I'm just as guilty as you. Look, it's easy sometimes to get you have what you just always do every day. I get up, I'm headed to the print shop, and I got my days when it's school. I bring my clothes with me. I bring my uniform for school with me to wear, and I go into the bathroom, and I change into these clothes, and I go to the school, and I teach, and then I come back, and I get my print shop clothes out, and I go in there and change again and put them on, and then on the days I go to prison, I head out, I'm gone to prison. It's a full day. It's from 9:30 Central Time to 7:30 Eastern Time. It's about a good 10-hour day, and I don't want it to become routine, but sometimes it is routine. But I don't want everything to be mechanical and routine, right? But I want to do what I'm telling you I'm going to do. As one of my supporting pastors, I had a pastor came by the house. We've been needing some work done for a while. And one of my supporting pastors there in Cleveland has, I guess, heard about it. And he just showed up at the house, him and his wife. And my wife called me. She said, oh, by the way, did you know your supporting pastor over there at this church was coming by today? I said, no. I said, did you tell him where I was? Oh, he said he knew you'd be at the print shop. I said, well, yeah. But we had some work that needs to be done, and him and his wife just came to see. They said, well, we need to see what needs to be done. God takes care of us. You always heard it said, if you'll take care of God's business, He'll take care of your business. Are you taking care of God's business? You know what God's business is? The soul business. You see these here. These are, the pastor's got them here, these Bible Way Baptist Church tracts, gospel tracts. To take out, right? And share. And then there's even these little cards. Bible, you're invited to Bible Way Baptist. And there it is right there. You got everything you need to be able to go out and make a contact. The little church we were saved through I was saved through their door-to-door visitation efforts. When we got into church, when they'd come in Sunday school, they would count who brought their Bibles. They would count even contacts. They said, how many contacts did you make? You know what contacts were? People you had spoken to, witnessed to, and you had got their information and they could go back and visit them. So the contacts you would make. And because that would help. That would help reach that island. That Roanoke Island is an island that's connected by two bridges and it's 13 and a half miles long. And the pastor had put up a map in his office. And I was later able to go in there and see, and they were working on the north end of the island when I got saved. They had been canvassing the north end of the island the night that I got saved. And because, again, they were willing to go. Now I know I understand I'm talking to the choir tonight. I understand that. I'm talking to a church that things are happening. Programs are happening. People are being pursued. People are being reached. I understand that. So I'm just encouraging you to keep on keeping on. We're not there yet. Oh, it's imminent. The coming of the Lord is imminent. You know what imminent means? The word synonyms for the word imminent is, it's at hand. It's going to be forthcoming. It can happen at any time. The coming of the Lord is imminent. And if you're saved, you're headed out of here. We're leaving before the tribulation happens. We're going to be up there while them 7 years is going on down here. We're going to be up there in the, we're going to have a judgment seat. We're going to have the marriage supper of the lambs. During these 7 years, this is going. We're going to be up there, because then when that ends, we're going to be coming back on a horse with the Lord, and we're going to be reigning down here for 1,000 years. Amen. So we got to be busy now, because His return is imminent. It's imminent. If you're here tonight, you're saved. It's just a matter of time. And if you're here tonight, you're not saved. What are you waiting on? Because His return is imminent. He could come before this service ends tonight. Look, I have every intention of getting up tomorrow morning hitting the road, getting back to Cleveland, spend the rest of the day with Miss Powell before the week gets going again on Tuesday. But you know, I also could never make it back to Cleveland. But because of what happened 28 years ago in that little yellow house on 218 Langley Lane, when the land surveyor sat across from the landscaper and said, "Hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven?" And all I had was my self-righteousness. I said, "Well, I believe I would." He said, "How you know?" I had that problem Lucifer has over there in Isaiah 14. I said, "Well, I go work every day." Well, what do we have when we're lost? Self-righteousness, that's it. That's all we have. I said, "Look, I go work every day. I do this, I do that, I do..." And I realized that, and I found out that night in my living room that good old boys outside of Jesus die and go to hell. But boy, I was able to get saved in my living room that night. My wife got saved the next night. Hey, God is already in Zarephath. As they begin to come and get a song of invitation,